Angela. You know, the ladies don't amen the men as much as the men amen the ladies. I ought to have the ladies sing more often. Luke chapter 7. If you would please find Luke chapter 7 in your Bibles, we continue our study through the Gospels. Luke chapter 7, this evening we're going to study verses 16 through 28. 16 to 23. And see the answer to the question, art thou he? We're just going to take it a few verses at a time as we get started. And you'll remember that we studied a couple of weeks ago that there was a young man who had died in the town of Nain. And Jesus raised that young man from the dead. And we'll pick up here in verse 16. If you're able, please stand to honor the word of God tonight. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. The disciples of John showed John all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your great many blessings, for the life that you've given us, for the freedom we have in our country, for the forgiveness of sin and eternal life that we have through Christ. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and to study your word, to sing your praises, and to open your word tonight. I pray that you would convict our hearts and speak to us. Help me to preach exactly as you'd have me to, Lord, and I pray that we would be real disciples. We would follow you faithfully and help others to come to Christ. Lord, please bless your word tonight and help. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we get into the message tonight, I have just two things I want to share with you. The question of his identity and the answer of his activities. But before we get into that part, I want you to look back at verse 16 and just think about it for a moment as Jesus continues to go about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And everywhere he goes into synagogues, he preaches, and everywhere he goes, he is doing great miracles. He is, and we'll see more about that in a moment, but certainly it gets people's attention when one who is dead comes back to life. And when that happened, it brought great fear on all the people because God was working in their midst. And when God started to move, you notice, I don't know about you, but if I was at a funeral and somebody came through and raised them back to life, I in my nature, in my flesh, I would be excited. I don't know that I would be afraid. I would be excited. I'd be overjoyed. I mean, that would be incredible. But these people were afraid. They had fear. And that's the right response. When you see what God is doing, when God begins to move, when you know that God has been somewhere and done something and that a man of God has come, it ought to bring fear and reverence for God. I mean, these people began to see, listen, God's at work around here, and they began to look at their own lives and think, man, if the man of God has come to town, I better get myself together. When we look into our own lives tonight, we ought to see that God is at work, and we ought to see that God is at work in our own hearts, that God is at work in our church, that God is at work in growing people in the Lord, and God is at work in bringing lost souls to eternal life. And when we see God at work, sure, we get excited, we get joyful, but when God is at work, it ought to bring fear to our hearts. That we would say, God is at work in this place. So fear came on them, and they glorified God. Now, you might not think that this fear of the Lord and glorifying God or worshiping God or praising God go together, but that's exactly the way it works. So when Isaiah got to see God high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the angels were crying back and forth, holy, 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 you know, it brought Isaiah low. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. But when God sent the angel and he took the coal off the altar, remember, he touched his lips and it cleansed him, then he was able to praise God and be used of God. So they feared, and then they glorify God, that a great prophet has risen up among us, and God hath visited his people, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea. Now, don't let that word rumor mess you up. We think of a rumor today as an untruth that's being spread, right? But that's not what it means here. It's just the thing that's gone on, the news of what Jesus has done has spread around. What God has been doing, what Jesus has been doing, how that God has come, a great prophet it has come, and all of these things that he's done, and one who is dead is brought back to life, it's spread throughout all the region round about. Now, you'll remember that at this time, John is in prison. John was a faithful man of God, a great prophet of God, a great witness of God. And when Herod took his brother's wife, John was bold and preached against it. And John and Herod, being the arrogant man that he was, rather than repent of his sin and get right, he just threw John in prison, right? You don't like what the preacher says, throw him in jail. It's like Canada, in case you didn't know. It's like where America's heading, if things don't change. If you don't like what the preacher says, just throw him in jail. And that's what happened to John. So John's sitting in prison. But however it is, he's able to still interact with his disciples. And when his disciples hear about Jesus and hear about what's gone on, they go back to visit John and they say, listen, there's a great prophet risen up. He's even raised people from the dead. And John, now remember, John had seen Jesus. John had said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John had Jesus come to him, and Jesus said, you need to baptize me. And he said, no, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But no, he had to baptize him to fulfill all things. So John had baptized Jesus. He had seen the Spirit come down in the form of a dove. He had heard the voice of God, and he knew Jesus. He knew who he was. He knew why he had come. He got up and preached and said, I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoe. He said, listen, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who is greater than I am. There's one coming who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And so John knew Jesus. He had seen Jesus. He had baptized Jesus. But when John hears about what Jesus is doing, listen to the question of his identity. John calls his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And when the men were come to him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? So when the disciples of John go back to John, they tell him about Jesus and everything that's going on. John sends this really strange question. Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? There's a lot of debate about why John would ask this question. I mean, he saw Jesus. He baptized Jesus. He saw the Spirit come down, and he knows who he is. He knows his purpose. But you remember that John, like the rest of Israel, I think that John, too, was looking for Messiah to come and to establish his kingdom. John was looking for Christ to come to overthrow Herod and to set up his kingdom. He was looking for a great, mighty ruler to come. He wasn't looking for what Jesus, people were amazed, but at the same time, the religious leaders rejected Jesus. The people followed Christ, but the Pharisees and the scribes, they ridiculed Jesus, they mocked Jesus, they rejected him. And so maybe John asked the question because he's not really sure what's going on. Maybe he's been in prison for so long now, he's starting to doubt. But I want to tell you this, when you look at the character of John, it's hard for me to imagine him doubting. It's hard for me to imagine his faith wavering, but we don't know exactly why he asked the question, but there was the question of his identity. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? It seems to me that John looks out there at what's going on. And here's John, the forerunner of Christ, the one sent to prepare the way. And where is he? He's in jail. What's going on with Jesus? Now, he's not overthrowing Herod. He's just out there among the people. What is going on? And so the answer is in his activity. Look at verse 21. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now, I want you to get this. The disciples of John, they go to John. They say, John, you got to hear about this Jesus of Nazareth. You got to hear about what he's doing. As a matter of fact, there was a guy that was dead, and he raised him from the dead. He just touched the bier where they were carrying him, and he said, rise up. And he got up, and listen, this is just all going on. So John sends them back. And when they come to Jesus, the Bible says, in that same hour, when they came and asked Jesus, art thou he, or look we for another? Jesus just goes out, and he cures many of their infirmities. So in that same hour, Jesus goes out into the community, into the town and the villages and the places around, and he just goes around healing people that are sick. It's flu season. That'd be real nice about right now, wouldn't it? Stomach virus. Amen. If you've ever had it, you'd say amen better than that. Jesus, just in that same hour, he goes out and starts healing many of their infirmities and of their plagues and of evil spirits. People who are demon-possessed, Jesus just goes out and casts out demons. And there were those who were blind, and he gave them sight. And then Jesus answering, verse 22, said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. Listen to this. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So in the same hour, Jesus goes out and he starts performing these miracles. Finds people with infirmities, people who are sick and hurting. He heals them. People who have plagues and he heals them. People who are blind and he gives them sight. People who are demon-possessed and he casts out the demons. He says, you want to know if I'm the one you're looking for or not, John? So he takes his disciples out and he says, look. And he performs these miracles in front of those disciples of John. And then he says, you need to go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. And he sends a message back to John. And the message is, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want you to look at a few scriptures written by Isaiah hundreds of years before Christ was born, probably about 800 years. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 18 and 19. Prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 29 verses 18 and 19. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. You see, Jesus had a message for John. He wanted his disciples to see firsthand. They heard the rumors. But Jesus wanted them to be eyewitnesses of his miracles. And then, listen, not only eyewitnesses, but he had a message from John from the scriptures. You know why that mattered? Because John knew the scriptures. I want you to understand this tonight, please. You can't know Jesus outside of the scriptures. I talk to a lot of people that think they know a lot about the Lord and they have their own ideas and they say things like, I think this or I think that, or they'll even say nonsensical stuff like, my God would never do this or my God would never do that. You can form your own ideas about God all you want to. I would call that idolatry. When you create a God in your mind to suit yourself. But if you really want to know Jesus, you're going to have to know him through the Word of God. Listen, the eyewitnesses, the disciples of John, could go back and say, John, listen, we saw him cast out demons. We saw blind people who couldn't see. We saw people who were sick and had plagues and they were healed. I mean, it was amazing. And that might have had an impact on John. He trusted his disciples and their eyewitness account. But when Jesus really wanted to prove himself, to answer the question, art thou he? He gave him the word of God. If you really want to know Jesus, you're going to have to know him through the word. It's not about what you think. It's not about what I think. It's not about what we've been taught. It's not what about other people's opinions. What it's about is what the word of God says. And he says, listen, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. I want you to get this. Isaiah gives prophecies about the Messiah. And some of the prophecies are about the first coming of Christ, and some of the prophecies are about the second coming of Christ. And when you see in these verses, and it's about the first coming. In the first coming, Christ will come with healing. He'll come healing and making the blind able to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to leap. In his second coming, there's going to be some other things happen, but get this, he is the fulfillment of it all. Some has already been done, some is yet to happen. But Isaiah told of these things. And you'll remember, friends, back in Luke, if you want to just listen to this. In Luke chapter 4, verses 15 to 22, you may remember, it's been months and months ago, but Jesus goes to the synagogue, and when they give people the opportunity to read the word, the Lord opens up. Jesus opens up, and he reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Which says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And the Lord closed up the book, and he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is that hundreds of years before Christ was born, these prophecies were given, and Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. And when you look at what Jesus did, it validates the prophecies. We know who he is because of the word. And the Holy Spirit gave the word, and Christ came and fulfilled the word, and you and I can look back today. Most people in the world, most religions in the world are looking for something. Most of them have some idea of someone who would come and save the world, a savior, a redeemer for all people. And some of them are still looking. The Jews still look for the Messiah to come the first time. And Islamic people have their own ideas about all that's going to happen. And all the while, the Word of God has given us this picture in the Old Testament of who Messiah would be and what he would accomplish and what he would do. And we just have to look back at the life of Christ and see that he fulfilled everything. Art thou he? And the answer is absolutely yes. Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And the message I think that we need to hear tonight, friends, is you don't need to look any further than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still the only one that can make blind eyes see. And I don't just mean physically, I mean spiritually. He's still the only one today who can make the deaf ears unstopped where they can hear. He's still the only one who is crippled, for the spiritually crippled. He's the only one that can make you walk. You don't need to look for anybody else. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you the answer is in the Word of God, and so many people are looking for so much stuff, and what a sad thing it is when people have this book at their disposal and they're looking somewhere else instead of just looking into His Word. And I don't know what kind of trouble or difficulty you might be going through in your life right now and your family, but I know this, I know Jesus is the answer. This evening we're going to get ready for an invitation, and while our musicians come, I want to ask you to stand with me.